Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wisdom, Wealth, and Riches with Jackie, combining kingdom wisdom with marketplace strategies for spiritual, personal, professional, and business success. WWRJ empowers you to seamlessly integrate spirituality with the reality of the marketplace. And during this time, Wisdom, Wealth, and Riches with Jackie encourages and equips you to become that marketplace influencer God envisioned. And here is your host, Jackie Shower.
Good afternoon. I am so glad that you joined me on today, and it's just such an exciting time. This is Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, and we are the observance of his birthday, and we are celebrating the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. And I just want to say I thank God for the love affair he and I shared. It's totally beyond compare, and we are looking to just have an awesome time just thinking about all the many lessons that we have learned along the way from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He is one of my favorite people of all time. I really just, you know, I'm always inspired by him. I always get inspiration from him, as I know that many others do. He has just been a wealth of information, and just a great example of so many areas of life, from just living life, a life of integrity, a life of excellence, from being that leader that he calls for us, that God has called for you to be that leader, but just being everything that God has called for you to do at such a time as this. And so I just thank God for his life, and I thank God for his legacy. I thank God for what he meant to us, freedoms that we enjoy. It was because of his sacrifice. When you think about the whole march, and you think about his dedication to it, I mean, it's just one lesson after the other, you know, that he has given us. But before we get into all of that, I just want to say I want to encourage you to go to our website, www.jackieshowers.com. That's JACQUISHOWERS.com. We have a lot of information up there. We are so excited. My book should be coming out soon. I decided, from resolution to execution, you want to make sure that you are part of our e-blast list. So you can go to our website and sign up for our e-blast list. And there's just a lot of information out there to help you go to that next level. And so you want to make sure that you get that, you know, that you go out there and you stay in touch with what we're doing. And I'm pretty sure it's going to just be a blessing to you as you move forward in what God has for you to do. And go out there. You can go to our other website, which is themeplace.org. And that's themeplace, just like it sounds, .org. And, again, there is a lot of information out there for you. And we're just excited about all that God is doing with us, in us, and through us for you. But I want us to go ahead and get started. And I know that I have a friend, and she has an upcoming event, and I believe she is on the line right now. And I want her to just give us some information about it. Sheila, she's going to be our guest next week, but I want her to come on because she has an event that's going to happen prior to next week, and I want all of you all to know about it and know about this great book that she has coming out. Sheila, are you on the line?
I am, Jackie. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. It is my pleasure. Just wanted to give you that opportunity in order for you to share with us some of the things that's happening surrounding your book, because I know you're getting ready to do your big launch next week, but then you have a series of events that's going to be happening within the next couple of months. And so we just want to make sure our listening audience knows. And Sheila will be with us next week, but she's going to talk more about it, and she's going to talk more in depth about her book. But I wanted to make sure that we got her on today so then she can give a plug for her upcoming event. So go ahead, Sheila, to let our listening audience know all about the great book that's coming out.
Well, thank you, Jackie. I really appreciate you letting me have a bit of your time here to do that. We do have, as you said, a series of events surrounding my new book, Wielding Time. And the book launch party is taking place on January 25th, which is this coming Sunday. And we're going to... The first and foremost, we are going to celebrate because this was, it seemed for a while that it was no easy feat, but it just, for me, the book is really important. It it symbolizes the work that I do with my clients, and I think it's important because so many people struggle in a really painful way when it comes to managing their time, and they try solutions and they don't work, and they find themselves right back where they started from, and I've got a totally different approach. And so that's what the entire, that's what the whole book is about, you know, wielding time, taking back your power, your personal power, to increase your productivity, because that's what I see that's missing. That's what sets me apart from others who may work around time management. So like I said, first and foremost, we're going to be celebrating next Sunday, and I do have plenty of information that I want to share with everybody who comes out on Sunday to kind of get them on that track so that they can go from struggling to manage time and learning to do what I call wielding time.
Right, right. And so now, and where's your book launch going to be, and is it open to the entire public?
Yeah, it is definitely open to the public. We're going to be at the Roberts Riverwalk Hotel, which is in Detroit, and we will be in the Stroh's, or what's now known as the Boardroom, Suite 115, and we'll be there from 2 o'clock until 4:30 p.m. this Sunday.
Okay. Okay, and that's, and for all of you who may not know where that hotel is, it's right behind the it's right behind River Place. What is River Place? I'm trying to think of the name of that building.
I think it's
Rivertown.
I think it is River Place. It's been so long. You know, you get on autopilot.
Go there. I used to work in that building, so I should know the name, but it's right behind there. It used to be the old Omni Hotel, and now it's an African American owned hotel. So you want to make sure that you get there this Sunday from two o'clock to 4:30, right?
Yes, from 2 until 4:30. The address for the hotel is 1000 River Place Drive, and the zip is 48207 for anybody who wants to Google it.
Right, so that's where it is. It's right behind the River Place building, and so all you have to do is get there. Make sure you're there. It's a great read, not to mention that the information that she gives in her book in reference to time and how we look at time, it is going to be just a liberating experience for you and helping you to become more productive and accomplishing all that you want to do and also in living your dream. So you want to make sure that you come to the book launch, the Wielding Time launch event that's going to be happening this coming Sunday, which is November the 25th at Roberts Riverwalk Hotel, and it's going to be at the Suite 115. And so you want to make sure you get there. If you need more information, how can they find out more information, Sheila? Make sure they have your website and everything.
Sure. The book website is wieldingtime.com, or if you prefer to call, the number is 313-347-9884.
And so, yeah, make sure that do they need to call in order to in order for them to come, do they need to call and make reservations?
They don't, but if they go to the website and go to the event itself, as soon as you get to the website, over on the right, you'll see the event. If you click on the event, you can RSVP there, which would be a great help to us, so we kind of have a gauge of how many people are coming. But it also gives you a couple of free gifts, one that will get you started before you get your book, and then one that you can use at the launch party itself.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to make sure that we put that on our website. So our listening audience, if you didn't get that information about how to get to her website so you can find out more about attending this event, it's www.wieldingtime.com, and we're posting it even now on the event page of Wisdom, Wealth, and Riches with Jackie. And so we want to make sure that you get it. And I'm telling you, it's some time liberating nuggets that Sheila is going to share with you. And she's going to come back and be with us on next week. And so I just want to say thank you, Sheila, for just giving us this shout out real quickly about your book that's coming out. And listening audience, get to that event on Sunday from 2 to 4:30. It's a free event. You're going to go there, you're going to be liberated. And then also come back here next Monday at 12 noon because Sheila is going to come here with us and she's going to share information, some more information about her book and give you some more insight about it. So thank you so much, Sheila, for coming and being with us on this afternoon.
Oh, no, thank you, Jackie. It's my pleasure. And I look forward to talking with everybody next week.
Right. Same here. And I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. I have that on my schedule. I'll be there on Sunday.
Oh, great. It'd be great to see you.
Okie dokie. I just want to say that today that we are celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And if any of you are like me, he has just played such an instrumental role in my life, and I'm always seeking information in reference to, just about him. I love him. It's like when you think about it, the sacrifice that he made for us. We all of us talk about the speech, the march on Washington speech, and for many of you who don't know, that speech was first given here in Detroit at Bethel Baptist Church, and so it holds a dear spot in our hearts. But I want to talk about living the dream, and living the dream. It's beyond just living for yourself, and I want to talk about the lessons that I've garnered from just some of the many quotes of Dr. Martin Luther King. And I'd like to just share some of those lessons with you. One of them, and I'm going to say the quote, and then we'll talk about what the lesson was. Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. Serving has nothing to do with who you are or what you do. It is a heart thing. As long as you have compassion in your heart and you have the same grace that God gave us, you're able to serve. You're able to be that servant that God is calling for us to be. And part of living the dream, and always when we talk about it, a lot of times we say living my dream, or, you're living your dream. But all of our dreams are interconnected, and their interconnection begins with our heart. It's a heart thing. Another quote that I really love, he says, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as a Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. And, sometimes people feel as though that they can be a slacker. I can be a slacker on what I'm doing because it's not that important. But when you begin to realize that every job is important. When we just look at the whole animal kingdom and we just look at all of the different things that God created, but yet in his word, he said, go to the ant, you sluggard, in order for us to gain wisdom from an ant. How an ant, he always stocks up for later. And purpose in whatever an ant does, and he's doing it well, and God saw fit to show us how an ant is, how much more than we. So we do everything with a spirit of excellence, regardless of what you do and regardless of who you are. You always do things with a spirit of excellence. It has nothing to do with how much money you have in the bank. It has nothing to do with your race, color, or nationality. It has nothing to do with your age or gender, but it has all to do with you adopting a spirit of excellence. And integrity is important. And another quote by Dr. Martin Luther King, the time is always right to do the right thing. Some people say, well, you know what, it was better for me to do the wrong thing than the right thing. No, the time is always right to do the right thing. Integrity is important. Your integrity is tied to you doing the right thing all the time, regardless of who is watching you. That's where your integrity is tied to. So the time is always right to do the right thing. It may not be the most popular thing, but as long as you are doing the right thing, that's the popularity in it all. Because you know, in order to be a success, you gotta begin to adopt these principles in your life. You gotta begin to understand that it moves. It's a life of integrity that's inherent in success. And success doesn't necessarily mean that everybody around the world is going to know your name. Success means that every day you wrote your signature. At the end of the day, you wrote your signature and said, I gave it the best, and I treated people the way I wanted to be treated. On some positions, cowardice asks the question, is it expedient? And then expedience come along and ask the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? Conscience asks the question, is it right? But there comes a time when one must take the position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, but he must do it because conscience tells him it is right. Because you know what? It's not a popularity contest. At the end of the day, it's about when you lay your head down, will you be able to sleep? When you lay your head down, did you know that, you know what, I did the right thing? It may not have been popular. I may have lost some friends along the way. But you always have to say, you know what, I got to do the right thing. You cannot be a coward. You have to be fearless in what you're doing. You cannot take a cowardice stance and always looking for the easy way out or trying to gain popularity or doing things because you think that it's going to position you favorably. When it all said and done, you have to live with your conscience. I don't have to live with your conscience, but you have to live with your conscience. And even more importantly, you have to live with your God. You know, did you do the right thing when you were at work? You know, did you treat your customers right? Did you treat your employees right? Did you treat your boss right? These are all the things. Did you treat the person right who was driving in the car alongside of you or in front of you? Or were you riding your bumper so close that they could barely maneuver? These are all the things that say in when it's all said and done, did you do the right thing? Did you dot your I's and cross your T's? Regardless, if it meant that you may lose money, the bottom line is not about expediency. It's not about popularity. It's not about any of those things. It's not about politics, but it is about doing the right thing. And another quote is, life's most persistent and urgent question is, where are you? What are you doing for others? We were created to serve. We are servants. We have a servant. There's a piece of each and every one of us. We are created to serve. It doesn't matter. All of us are created to serve. We're created to be servants. We are created in order for us to make a difference in somebody else's life. And you know what? In the process of serving, it does not mean that person has to look like you. You have to understand. You have to begin to know how to celebrate the differences that makes us one. And that's how you become that servant that God is calling for you to be at this time. And you know, it was just, when you think about it, these were just lessons. Every man must decide whether he will walk in the light of creative altruism or in the darkness of destructive selfishness. You know, are you going to be so caught up in yourself that you lose sight, that selflessness, not selfishness, but selflessness is a virtue. It is a virtue. It is a virtue because you give of yourself. It is a virtue because you are able to be compassionate to somebody else. It is a virtue that you can be understanding when an employee comes in and says that, you know, they're having some difficulties at home. They may have an emergency. And, you know, and part of having that selflessness, that virtue, is when you are the boss and someone comes to you, you're not so hard-nosed against them that you cannot be compassionate in order to understand their vantage point. But you have to say, you know what, I need to exercise selflessness. There's no need to be selfish, because all selfishness does is it causes a lot of conflict and it causes a lot of confusion. The first question which the priest and the Levite asked was, if I stopped to help this man, what would happen to me? But the Good Samaritan reversed the question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? So we cannot turn our heads away when others need our help. Excuse me. And the only reason that you turn away when others need your help is because you're caught up again in yourself. And you think, I don't have the time. You know, when you go and you read that whole thing about the Good Samaritan, I think one of the things that we need to realize is that the Levite was, the Samaritan was helping a Jewish person, but the priest, those that walked by, they were of the same background as the man who was lying there who needed help, the priest and the Levite. They walked by him. And, you know, sometimes we can become so religious, so heavily minded that we're no earthly good. We're no earthly good, not just to others, but we're even no earthly good to ourselves. And we cannot become so heavily minded that we are not willing to help those, even those that may not be our friends. We have to learn how to love our foes as we love our friends. And when you see somebody in need, you have to say, let me help this person. Let me do what I can. Even when you're on your job, there may be somebody, they may not have been the nicest person in the world, but still stop and help them. I had a woman that I worked with. She did all types of things to me. But when it was all said and done, when she needed some help, when she needed somebody to talk to, because everything that she had done to other people were coming back on her, I was able to be a listening ear. And I was able to be a compassionate and to lend a compassionate shoulder to her. Our dreams are always bigger than us. They're not really about us. And Dr. Martin Luther King says, an individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity. You know, a lot of times you look at yourself and you look in the mirror and you think, this is just my little world. But you have to understand the world is bigger than that. Your assignment is bigger than that. And you have to start rising above the limitations of your world. You are the one who set the limitations on your dreams. Your dreams, our dreams are always bigger than us, and they're not really about us. But they're always bigger than us. When God places a dream inside of us, the dream is more for others than it is for ourselves. And you have to always look at what is the greater good of my community? What is the greater good of my city, of my state, of my country, of my world? And what I'm doing? He says, if I cannot do great things, I can do small things in a great way. You know what? We know from little acorns, big oak trees grow. We know that. We know that everything starts off small. small. I don't care what it is. I don't care what. I don't care the largest building. At one point, America was a little small country. There were just a group of people trying to start a country. Look at us now. Now we're considered the superpower. The Bible tells us don't despise the days of small beginnings. You can't get so caught up in saying I'm not going to do anything because it's so small. During this time, God is allowing you to work out the glitches. A lot of times people, they get too big too fast. But don't despise the small days of small beginnings. If you lose hope, somehow you lose the vitality that keeps moving. You lose that courage to be, that quality that helps you go on in spite of it all. And so today, I still have a dream. And that's what Martin Luther King says. You can't lose hope. You can't stop pursuing and living your dreams. You can't lose hope. The Word of God tells us that the trials and tribulations that come, they're working our patience experience, and our experience hope, and hope will never make us ashamed because of the love that God has poured in us. Hope is, when you say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, what we go through life, those trials and those tribulations that we got to keep moving because we don't get stuck, that's our hope. Our hope for glory, our expected end, that's the hope that we have, a future. God, we know God has given us a future and a hope. We never give up. You can't cave in. You've got to keep moving. Not everybody can be famous, but everybody can be great because greatness is determined by service. If you want to be great, you've got to learn how to serve. You have to learn how, if you see a piece of paper on the floor, I don't care if you're the president of the company, to pick it up. You have to learn how to be a servant. If they say wash the toilets, go in there and wash those toilets with the spirit of excellence. But you got to learn how to serve. You can even serve the youngest person around you, but you're serving them. A mother serves a child, especially if that child is maturing. A parent serves their children. And any time we serve anybody, regardless of our children or those that's over us, we always want to do it with a spirit of excellence because greatness is determined by service. You may be 38 years old. This is a quote, another quote. You may be 38 years old, as I happened, and that time that he was, I happened to be. One day, a great opportunity stands before you, and this was like a year before he passed away. And one day, some great opportunity stands before you and calls you to stand up, or someone assassinated, let's be more accurate. And some great opportunity stands before you and calls you to stand up for some great principle, some great issue, some great cause, and you refuse to do it because you are afraid. You refuse to do it because you want to live longer. You're afraid that you will lose your job, or you're afraid that you will be criticized, or that you will lose your popularity, or you're afraid that somebody will stab you or shoot at you or bomb your house. So you refuse to take the stand. You may go on and live until you are 90, but you're just as dead at 38 as you would be at 90. And the cessation of breathing in your life is but the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. When you're not willing to live your dreams, when you're not willing to stand up for something, you want to make your life count. And, you know, he was 38 years old, and more than likely within less than a year, someone had assassinated him. His life was taken away, almost like this was a prophetic word. But when he took his last breath, he could say, I gave him my all. I was not afraid. You cannot be afraid to live the dream. You can't be afraid to live the dream, to live it out. You can't be afraid to do whatever God is calling for you to do, because remember, it is bigger than you. It's bigger than you. Stop getting so caught up in your own pursuit. Stop getting so caught up in yourself that you lose sight that God wants to use you for something bigger. You can't be that myopic. Can't be that narrow focused. It's like sometimes we become so narrowly focused that all the problems in our lives is more important than anything else. But we cannot be that narrowly focused that's all we look at. because that is not the case. That is not the issue. The issue here is, what are you going to do? Are you ready to stand for something? Do you want to make your life count when it's all said and done, when that dash there, and what are you going to include on that dash? From the day you were born to the day you take your last breath, are you going to be too afraid to step out and to do what God's telling you to do, regardless if it's popular, regardless if people may like you? Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to take a chance? Are you willing to go to the next level? What are you willing to do? This is what you have to ask yourself. You have to begin to ask yourself that. Are you willing to move beyond the fear? If fear is gripping you, then you have to move beyond the fear and go to a higher place. And that place is just seeking God. And you know what? You have to do it even in the midst of the fear. Fear is just, you're going to face everything and rise. You face the fear and you rise. You face the fear and you rise to the occasion. And I think Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he showed us that. Here you have a man, he knew every single day could have been his last day, that people were hunting him down like he was a dog, but he would not cave in. He had been stabbed. He had gone through all this stuff. His house had been bombed. He had endured all of these different things, and he stood on the threshold, the imminency of when someone was going to assassinate him, but he knew he couldn't be a coward. He knew he couldn't back down. He knew he had to still keep moving, that he had to stand, that he had to stand for something that was greater than him, that was for the greater good. That's what he had to do. He knew that. He knew it was not going to be any other way. You want to make your life count. I remember I read something that my mother wrote, and she said, "I want my life to count." And you know, and I remember saying, "Mom, your life did count because of the things that you did, because you raised 10 children by yourself. But you never lost your integrity." And, you know, I lived with my mother until I was about 27 years old. I went away a little bit when I got married for a little bit, but I came right back and I lived with her. And you know what? And she never did anything to compromise the integrity that she would have for us, because she knew she was also our mother, but she also was serving us in order for us to grow up and be what God was calling for us to be. Martin Luther King said, "The question is not if we will be extremists, but what kind of extremists we will be. The nation and the world are in dire need of creative extremists." I remember when I was little, when I was a young girl, and I used to tell people that I was a rebel without a cause. You have to be radical, and you need to find a cause so you can be an extremist. And some people say, "Well, why do you want to be an extremist?" Because your passion is going to drive you to the extreme creativity and just making the world a better place. And so you got to be an extremist. You have to be an extremist. When you look at people like Steve Jobs, he was an extremist, but look at what he brought us. When you look at people like Bill Gates, an extremist, Oprah Winfrey, an extremist, Bishop T.D. Jakes, these are all extremists, but look at what they've done for our lives. Look at because they were not afraid to step out and do exactly what God was calling them to do. Look how our lives are the better for it. One of his quotes is this, and you know when I say this, I know many of you are going to be able to identify with this, and it says, "Use me, God. Show me how to take who I am, who I want to be, and what I can do, and use it for a purpose greater than myself." How to be used for the greater good. How can I be used for the greater good? We always cry out and say, "God, use me, God, use me, God, use me." But is it being used for the greater good? And are you willing to truly be used, or are you just applying lip service? And so you have to ask yourself, am I just applying lip service, or am I really ready to be used for the greater good? Another one of his quotes was, "The end of life is not to be happy, nor to achieve pleasure and avoid pain, but to do the will of God, come what may." We must do God's will. It's not, like I said, it's not about a popularity contest. It's not about how much money you may or may not make. It's not about the color of your skin. It's not about your nationality. it is about doing the right thing. And that so when you come to the end of the road where the rubber meets the road, when we come to the place where time collides with eternity, because you are moving out of time and you move into eternity, you take your last breath, you have to ask yourself, did I do the will of God? Did I give it my all? Was I radical? Was I unafraid to do what needed to be done? Did I treat my neighbor right? And who is your neighbor? That's a question that Jesus asked. He said, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor can be somebody that's across the world. Your neighbor is any human being that God has created. That is your neighbor. You're to treat them right. You can't just walk by them and act like you don't see them when they're suffering and they're in pain. That's your neighbor. We want to exercise excellence in all that we do. You can't be at work and say, I don't like that person, so I'm not going to talk to that person. You got to speak to them. You got to say hello to them. You know, you got to be nice to them. If they're not nice to you, that's their problem, but you got to be nice to them. And so you have these are the things that you have to do. And as you are adopting this whole living the dream. Living the dream is more, it's more than just saying that, you know, I'm living this dream, but it's truly living the dream. It's truly being someone who, if Martin Luther King was still alive, would he be proud of you even more than that? That God's looking down on you. Would he be proud of you? Would he be proud of your actions? Would he be proud of what you're doing? Would he be proud of how you're treating people? Would he be proud that you are not afraid to walk into your destiny and purpose? Would he be proud that you have stepped out of the boat of fear? You know, would he be proud of you that you're saying, come what may, I'm going to do the will of the Father? Would he be proud of you? And so this is what, these are the things that you begin to ask yourself as you are looking to pursue your goals and your dreams and your desires. You know, are they lining up with my value system? Do you have a value system? Have you established a value system of what I will and will not do? Or have you been praying that if you feel the urge that you may go and do something wrong? But, you know, beginning to say, you know, this is not who I am. I can't do these things. These are the things that to me, he taught us. He taught us I got to still do the right thing. He taught us that I made a decision. It was beyond his family. You know, he made some major sacrifices. Are you ready to make some sacrifices? Are you ready to make sacrifices in order to become who God created you to be? Are you ready to make sacrifices even on your job? Are you ready to make those sacrifices? Are you ready to make sacrifices to be that leader that God has called for you to be? To stand up for what is right, regardless if nobody else is standing with you. And it has nothing to do with leadership for standing up for right. It has to do with integrity. It has to do with who you are. It has to do with your value system. It has to do with you making a conscious decision that I'm going to stand up for right. It may not be popular. And it doesn't matter what your age. If anyone's out there listening, you may be a teenager. You still have to stand up for what is right. Because that's what it's all about. Did you stand up for what is right? He stood up for what was right. He had a dream. He had a dream. We're living out his dream. We have an African-American president. That's still the dream being fulfilled. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people have said about him. President Barack Obama has still walked in his integrity. When people have to fabricate things, and they have to do things to tarnish your character because you're still walking in your integrity. He's living the dream. He's living the dream. He's a great example for us. His wife, she lives the dream. They're under scrutiny all the time. They know that they have life threats all the time, but they're living the dream. What are you doing to live the dream? Are you caught up in yourself? You will never experience the fullness of what God has for your life. You'll never become that marketplace influencer until you can move out beyond yourself to be an extremist, to be radical, to understand it's not a popularity contest, to say, am I willing to take a stand regardless if my life is being threatened every day? Are you willing to live that dream? Are you willing to, when you walk into your job, to be a living exemplary example of righteousness? Not when I'm saying righteousness, I'm not saying that you become so dogmatic that you repel people, but righteousness is rooted in love, to be a pillar of love. Are you willing to do that? These are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, as we observe it, it causes us to examine ourselves, to make sure that we are living a life of excellence for humanity. We're living a life of excellence of service because we are servants, and we have to have that servant heart. And so to live your dream, you got to live the dream. And you know what? The dream is always rooted. It's rooted in the Word of God. When you go and you read the speeches of Martin Luther King, they were rooted in the Word of God. And so to live the dream, you have to begin to live the Word. I just want to thank you all for coming and being with us on today. And I just encourage you to go to our website, www.jackieshowers.com, and see all of the things that we are doing, new things coming out. Look for our branding and marketing on less than a shoestring budget, and we will be announcing it soon, some other things that we're doing. And you know what? We want you to be a part of it. I want you to be a part of it. If you don't want to go to my website, inbox me. Send me a message. You can do it through LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Google+. Send me a message with your email address, and we'll make sure that you're on that list, and you can get that information, or you can email us. All that information is up on our website, www.jackieshowers.com. That's JACQUISHOWERS.com. I am so glad that you joined us on today. I'm so excited that you were with us. And it's always my prayer that you have a blessed, prosperous, and productive week as a marketplace influencer.
Thank you for listening to Wisdom, Wealth, and Riches with Jackie. We encourage you to visit our website at www.tsgm.org to subscribe to our weekly e-blast, Showers Blessings, and keep apprised of our activities and events. Learn more about the Me Place Empowerment Institute at www.themeplace.org. And it is always our prayer for you to have a successful, prosperous, and productive week as a marketplace influencer.